Mr. Ludd was, Karamichian, was saying that he forgot to introduce me. I said, you know who I am. I come here often. Yes. My name is Bob Kozer. I'm Annabelle's grandpa. And if you don't know who Annabelle is, ask Anna. Grandma Anna. She will show you many pictures and videos. Let me put a start time down here so we have an end time. How about that? You know, as servants of God, we are admonished to give the brethren meat in due season. And you know, one way we find that out and to get inspiration for that is we go back and look at the biblical record and say, what happened in the past on this particular season, in this particular time? Today is the first day of unleavened bread. What happened in biblical history during the first of unleavened bread? Let's turn over to Joshua 1. Joshua 1 to begin today. Joshua 1, verses 1 through 5. Joshua 1, verses 1 through 5. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory, the Mediterranean Sea. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Wow, what a plan. How would you like to start out an endeavor with that? I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So today we're going to look back more than 3,400 years back into the past. Moses had died. Joshua had been commissioned to lead the people into the promised land, a land that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob generations before. What lessons can we learn as we follow Joshua and the Israelites as they take the promised land? What can we learn? That's why we study the Bible. There are examples that we can take from the past and apply to the present. As Mr. Smith was saying, he learned a lesson from de-leavening. That's why we do it. There's nothing wrong with leaven, except this time of year. In fact, in some places, it's even referred to as leaven is an analogy used with the kingdom of God, how it expands and kind of cover the whole earth. But this time of the year, there are lessons for us to learn about the sinful nature. So the first point I'd like to make today is that Joshua was given a specific job to do. Joshua was given a specific job to do. You're already over in Joshua. Let's look at verse 6. Joshua 1, verse 6. God says to him, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. He's got his marching orders, doesn't he? You know, there's always a work of God. There's always a work of God. And the work in Joshua's time was to cross over that Jordan and to begin that conquest of the land. Now, if you read through the entire story, you'll find that he didn't fully complete it by the time he had died, but he had done a whole bunch. He had done what God told him to do. What's the work we have to do today? We believe that we are commissioned to preach the gospel and prepare a people. It's different than taking the land, but it's a noble work, and we've been commissioned to do that. Let's look over in Mark 16, verse 15. Let's cover that briefly. Mark 16 and verse 15. Mark 16 and verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. We preach the word, brethren. We put it out there, as you heard from Mr. Karamidjian, WGN. Growing up in the Chicago area, WGN was very familiar to us. And now we're using it to preach the word. Each man decides if he will follow the way when God chooses to call him. It's a choice. But preaching the word is what we are supposed to be doing. Matthew 28, verse 18. Matthew 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He's with us like he was with Joshua. I will never leave you or forsake you. When we are busy doing God's word, doing God's will, we can be assured he's with us. Hebrews 2 and verse 10. Hebrews 2 and verse 10. For it was fitting for him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. And we just went through that a couple nights ago at the Passover, didn't we? To understand something about what Christ went through, why we are here, why we can rely on his blood to cleanse us from all sins, and his broken body to heal our infirmities. You know, when they killed the lamb, they didn't beat the lamb, did they? Give it a very humane death. They cut its throat, they drained its blood, and he was the sacrifice. But Christ's body was beaten for our healing, mentally and physically. We were healed. We were have that opportunity because of Christ's beating. And the whole idea is to bring many sons to glory. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. He calls us brothers and sisters. So like Joshua being commissioned to lead the physical nation of Israel into the promised land, we as the spiritual nation of Israel are commissioned to preach the gospel and teach those called and chosen to observe God's law. The intent here is to prepare a people to rule with Christ when the kingdom of God and his law rule on this earth. It's a big job. And we are very small. We are a little people. Even at our biggest, we were a little people. I grew up in a congregation in a universal church that had more families in one church than we have in the whole United Church of God. More families met every Sunday in one church in the Midwest than the whole people of God today. We are very small. It's a big job. But the message for all of us that God has is be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous and do the work I've given you to do. The next instruction God gives Joshua is point number two. Joshua was instructed to obey God's law. Very important. Joshua was instructed to obey God's law. Joshua 1, verse 7 and 8. Let's go back to Joshua again. You might want to keep your finger there because we're going to be going back because that's the area of scripture we're discussing. Joshua 1, verse 7 and 8. Joshua 1, verse 7 and 8. And he says it again, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or the left hand, that you may prosper wherever you go. You know, when we grow up, a lot of times we think that old nasty law, you know, if we've been raised in other churches or maybe without any kind of instruction in God's way, that law is restrictive. That law is a problem. That law takes away our freedom. God says, obey it, that you may prosper wherever you go. It's a good thing. Would God give us anything that wasn't good? He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have good success. God says, follow my way. Do what I ask you to do. I'm in your court. I will make you prosperous. I will make all kinds of good things happen if you do it my way. In any endeavor we undertake, brethren, we must be mindful of God's law, and we must set our minds on following it to the best of our understanding. Do we understand it perfectly now? No. I'm sure when we get into the kingdom of God, we're going to say, oh, I didn't know that. And then we're going to say, yes, Lord. Obviously, he wrote the book. His understanding was greater than ours. We are human beings. We struggle a lot of times. And as you grow in the church, year after year, it gets clearer and clearer. Every time you keep the days of unleavened bread, it gets clearer and clearer as to what is right and what is wrong and how things are supposed to work. We must set our minds on following it to the best of our understanding. God wants us to be successful and prosper, but there are terms. There are terms. Matthew 19 and verse 16. Now behold, one came to him and said, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good, that is, but God. But if you would want to enter into life, he said, keep the commandments. You won't hear that in a lot of churches. Keep the commandments. Is it easy to keep the commandments? No, it's not easy to keep the commandments. We are all still very human. But with the help of God's Holy Spirit working in us, we can. Our inclination is incoming. That's the way we're born. That's the way the babies are. When the baby cries in the middle of the night, he doesn't think, well, mom's been up all day and she's kind of tired. I think I'll just wait till morning to eat and think about mom. No, it's all incoming. We're all turned in to WIIFM. What's in it for me? Right? Not WGN, WIIFM. What's in it for me? But at some point in time, as we grow in the church, we have to start thinking, why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? Do I have something to offer? It's not all this way. It starts going this way. It's not easy to keep the commandments, which are love, which are outgoing. But with God's help, with his Holy Spirit, it is possible. Not because we're strong. We are weak. We know that. He called the weak of the world, did he not? Guilty. Guilty. But because of Christ's sacrifice, and because the holy day we're going to be celebrating in a few months, a couple months, 50 days plus, we'll have that Spirit to help us. And we have it now. If you were baptized and if you had hands laid on you, you have God's Holy Spirit. We need to use it. John 14, verse 14. might have heard some of this last at Passover evening, but we'll rehearse it again because it fits here. John 14, verse 14. You know, every time I read the Bible, I see something that wasn't in there before. I don't know how it happens. It just tends to jump off the page. And last year, it wasn't there, kind of like that unleavened bread. Don't save it from year to year. Just keep renewing it here. John 14, verse 14. If you ask anything in my name, I will give it to you. If you love me, keep my commandments. You love God? Keep his commandments. All of them. All of them. And I will pray the Father that he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor it knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Remember, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If he tells it to Joshua, he tells it to us also. Loving God translates into obeying him. It is a concept that's lost on most who consider themselves Christian today. It's not law or grace. It's law and grace. We're supposed to live by both. First John 3:24. First John 3 and verse 24. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. If we set our hearts, brethren, to do his will and to keep his commandments, with the help of God's Holy Spirit, he will take care of us. He will take care of us. He will not let us fall. He will not let us falter. We will not lose out on eternal life. We will be there. John 10:10 says, the thief comes not except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Like Joshua, being successful in his mission required that he carefully keep God's law. There is no real success outside of keeping God's law. What appears to be working, if we neglect to follow his commandments, will come around to bite us. Sometimes we think we're getting away with something. It will come around and bite us if it's not consistent with his law. God says, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Mr. Kanyas, that's the title, if you need a title. Be strong and courageous. Point number three. To be confident moving forward, we must know, capital K-N-O-W, you must know that God is with us. Point number three, to be confident moving forward in our lives, in the commission we've been given to do, in the commission Joshua was given to do. We must know that God is with us. Joshua 1 verse 9. Joshua 1 verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I mean, think about this. These people were in bondage for a long, long time. And God had to let a whole generation die in the wilderness. So even the new generation was in the desert for a long, long time. Where did they learn how to take the promised land? Where did they learn to fight with swords and spears and shields and throw rocks, sling rocks and things like that? Where did they learn that? How did they stack up to the armies that were fighting all the time? You think they felt a little intimidated by the task at hand? Oh yeah, go up against these Amorites. Goliath of Gath, just a little guy, you know, you can handle it. Sure you can. You think they were a little afraid to go out there and do what he said? He said, why did he tell them? I'm with you wherever you go, because he knew they were afraid. 1 Samuel 2, verse 2. Are we afraid with the task God's given us sometimes? Oh, yeah. Do other things make us tremble in our boots? Come to Speakers Club sometime. I remember those early days. You could work yourself up into being really sick, not having to give a speech, if you didn't have to give a speech. I remember those days. But when you start doing what God wants you to do, you gain confidence, and you can do it. 1 Samuel 2, verse 2. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him all actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumble are girded with strength. How are they going to take the promised land? God was going to drive those nations out. He said, the iniquity of the Amorites is full. I'm going to drive them out in front of you. I will break the bows of the mighty men. How many times have you read in the scripture where God turned an army on itself when they were cutting themselves up and Israel was standing around the outside watching, and then he just went in and took the spoil? That's the way things are accomplished. Put the words out on WGN and see who listens. God can break the bows of the mighty and catch us when we stumble. We must believe that if we are to do his work. You know, David understood. Psalm 18. David understood. It's interesting because when David got himself in trouble, what he did was write a song. And we have many of the songs when he was being chased by Saul, when his enemies were surrounding him on all sides. And they're a good place to go when you feel oppressed by the world and in trouble. Because David was there. David, a man after God's own heart. Psalm 18, verse 2 and 3. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and my horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. You feel put upon by the world sometimes? What did David do to warrant Saul's wrath? Reading about him now in our Bible reading program, he's running around in the wilderness with 600 men and their families trying to stay out of Saul's way. What did he do? He had several opportunities to dispatch Saul, but he did not choose to put his hand to God's anointed. Figure if God wants to take him out, he'll take him out. I just need to stay out of his way so I can stay alive. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. He didn't just tell it to Joshua. He tells it to us today. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So during this spring holy day season, part of the mission is to look inward and know that God is there to catch us when we fall. That God is there to be our buckler and our shield and our rock. Where did I fall short, we should be asking. How can I do better? Am I allowing God to work in me? Do I really believe that God is with us We must ask the hard questions. We must look inside during this period of time. That's why we have to constantly be looking for leaven. We don't care about it during the year. We don't think about it. But now we have to look for the leaven. We say, oh, I got to be mindful every time I turn around. I got to read every label on the shelf. I've got to ask all the silly questions in the restaurant. And they go, huh? Talk about that platter at Safeway. We went to Safeway and we wanted to buy a pie for the night to be much observed, to bring desserts, right? I asked a little lady at the bakery, do you have any pies that have unleavened crust? Huh? I'll go back and ask him back. And she comes out 5 minutes later. Well, the bakers have all gone home. So I had to put my glasses on, and Anna and I went through and looked at every pie to find out which ones, and all the unpronounceables to try to figure out with the little phone, trying to figure out what is spike, this, you know. And we found one that had good ingredients and had no leavening in the crust, which we baked and we brought. But it was not easy. And she still doesn't know what leaven is. Okay. Oh, my. Well, maybe if they have a baker back there in the morning. We were there in an afternoon. Bakers come in the morning. Do you know that? Bakers bake early in the morning. That's always, it's kind of a tradition with bakers. They bake in the middle of the night, and then they go home at noon or whatever, no matter where you go. Even regular bakeries like when I was growing up. It is important, brethren, to realize that while we are part of God's church, we are also individuals. And what we do makes a difference. Point number four, each of us has a vital role in the mission. Each of us has a vital role in the mission. Yes, I can look up there and I can see beyond today. I can see the presenters. I can look and I can see a new studio being built. I can look at home office and see all the people over there that are arranging to send literature and organizing the church and sending missions out to here and there and dealing with people in Africa like Mr. Pebworth is doing now and going over here and going over there and planning feasts and everything else. And that's good. I'm glad we have people to do that. And there's a little old us, Oakland, California. 2018, each of us has a vital role in the mission. Joshua 1, verse 10. Let's go back to Joshua again. Joshua 1 and verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare your provision for yourself, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives and your little ones and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan, but you shall pass before your brethren, armed all your mighty men of valor to help them. Now they had a special job, those three tribes. They were on the east side of the Jordan. And that's the land they wanted. It was good for cattle and that, and Moses said, you can have it. But you have to go over the west side with your brothers to take the land. You're just not going to sit here on the front porch sipping mint juleps and doing nothing. You have to help. You are important to this mission. Everyone has a job to do here in Oakland, California. Here. Everyone, each of us. And how we do it, How we do that job can either enhance or compromise the mission. How we do our job can either enhance or compromise the mission. And there are two examples I'm going to cover right now. High level, because you're familiar with them, but I will call to remembrance some of these things. Let's look over in Joshua 7 and verse 1. Joshua 7 and verse 1. Well, let's start in verse 2. Verse 2. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Aban. Okay. On the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, go up and spy out the country. So the men went up and spied out Ai. Now this is right after they'd already taken Jericho. Jericho was a very large walled city. And they took it by the grace of God with a very unconventional battle plan. You know, they marched around the building and the walls fell down. It wasn't like they were all that great. I don't know of any general that would choose that as a battle plan, but God. So sometimes if you think God's asking you to do something a little strange, just go with it. Just go with it. It'll work, okay? Because he's in charge. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, don't let all the people go up, but let's about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Don't worry, all the people, there are few in Ai. So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai, and the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Shibarim, and they struck them down on the descent. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. These were not seasoned warriors. These were people that were learning to rely on God for their success, that were learning to become his people and be useful to him. What happened? Wasn't God supposed to be with them? Didn't he say, I will never leave you nor forsake you? Ah, but there were conditions. Joshua 7, verse 6. Joshua 7, verse 6. And Joshua tore his clothes and fell on the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening. And he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. That's what they did when they mourned. Okay, they threw themselves on the ground. They tore their clothes. They put dust on their heads, ashes. And they got looking really ratty, because they were not feeling really good. And Joshua said, alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content to dwell on the other side. Doesn't that sound a whole lot about, why did you take us out of Egypt? We play the same song time after time again. Just the names and the places change. I'm sure none of us here have ever felt that way, but yeah, we are Israelites. Joshua 7, verse 10. So the Lord said to Joshua, get up, why do you lie on your face? No compassion, you know? What's the matter with him? Get up, why do you lie on your face? He said, Israel have sinned. And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and both stolen and deceived. And they have also put it among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed from among you. Wow. You see, God specifically commanded the Israelites not to take of the, quote, accursed things. That's the other stuff out there in that Jericho. Stuff, you know, idols, things that they should not have been taking. He commanded that they wipe everything out, but the gold And the silver and the bronze and the iron, they were to put in the treasury. You can go back and read Joshua 6, verse 18. I will not do that for the sake of time right now. But a man named Achan did not follow instructions. He stole gold and silver, and he took a garment, a Babylonian garment, that he found. He knew what God had commanded, but he went right ahead and did something else. Achan's bad choice resulted in the death of 36 men and the destruction of an entire family. And God looked like it, at it like Israel had sinned, not one man. Did you see what it said? Israel has sinned because of the bad choice of one man. The actions of one man compromised the mission. Now, on the other hand, there was Rahab. You know that sweet young thing that grew up in the church and never committed any kind of sins or problems? Never had a problem in her life. Everything was smooth. You know, Rahab. Mm-hmm. You all know what I'm talking about. How would you like to be in God's book here? And he said, oh, Bob, the fornicator. Or Rahab, the harlot. Everyone knows Rahab, the harlot, don't we? Okay? Joshua 2 and verse 1. Let's look over this story a little bit. Joshua 2 and verse 1. Joshua 2, verse 1 through 4. Now Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy out secretly, saying, go to the view the land, especially Jericho. So they went, and they came to the house of the harlot named Rahab and lodged there. You know, I always wondered why they went to the house of a harlot. I mean, if God was really against people stealing things, which is breaking God's law, he certainly would have been against them going and purchasing things at the house of a harlot. The only thing I can figure is that they went there because it would not draw attention to them if strange men went into this woman's house. That's the only thing I can figure. So they could go into a house and probably be undetected. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. I don't know, was it their accent? Was it the clothes they were wearing? I don't know what it was. They knew who they were. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you. You have entered, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out the country. Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, yes, the men came to me, but I don't know, I didn't know where they were from. And again, long story short, Rahab enabled the spies to escape. She told them how to hide out while everyone went by. You know, all the posse went by and they were hiding out, right? And when they came back, they crossed over and went back to Joshua. And she hid the messengers who came to spy out Jericho, because she had heard about the God of Israel, and God had touched her heart, and she said, I want to be in this camp, not this camp. Remember, make sure God knows what camp you're going to be in. No, don't let him be confused about which camp you're in. And she said, look it, I'll let you go. I'll enhance your, help you get your escape, sure, but I want to have my family and myself and all of mine saved when you come and do this. In Joshua 6, verse 25, we see the conclusion of it, sort of. And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she did. And all that she had, excuse me, so she dwells in Israel today, meaning the time this was written, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. While one man compromised the mission, one woman enhanced the mission. We as individuals have a lot of power in doing the mission God has set before us. And God saw fit to reward her beyond that, beyond a safe place for her and her family. If you look over in Matthew 1, verse 5, and I'm not going to go there at this time, but you'll see that Rahab is mentioned as the mother of Boaz. You know, Boaz and Ruth, making her the great-great-grandmother of King David. More importantly, a direct ancestor of Jesus Christ. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. You can be assured that when she came to Israel, she was no longer a harlot. Be strong and courageous is the message God has for us today. When it comes to doing the job God gives us to do, it's best not to rely on our own understanding and abilities. You know, some of us who have accomplished a few things in life, and some of us that are older than 21, sometimes get overconfident in our abilities to size up a situation and discern immediately what needs to be done, and we go off and we forget. Joshua learned this lesson a hard way. Point number five, we must remember to ask before we make major decisions. Point number five, we must remember to ask before we make major decisions. Joshua 9 and verse 3. Joshua 9 and verse 3. Now when the inhabitants of Gibeon learned what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they worked craftily and went and pretended to be ambassadors. And they took old sacks on their donkeys and old wineskins torn and mended, old and patched sandals on their feet, old garments on themselves, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. It was not flatbread. It got dry and moldy. Okay? And they went to Joshua, to the camp at Gilgal, and said to him and to the men of Israel, "We have come from a far country. Now therefore make a covenant with us." What did God tell them to do? Go into the promised land. Wipe these people out. Their iniquity is full. It's time for them to be dispatched. Kill every one of them. Livestock, men, women, children. Wipe them out. Joshua 9, verse 7. Then the men of Israel said to the Hivites, "Perhaps you dwell among us. So how can we make a covenant with you?" They suspected treachery. They could see with their eyes it looked like these people were telling them the truth, but something said, it doesn't seem quite right. You know, like they say, if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. Probably is. But they said to Joshua, verse 8, Joshua 9, verse 8. "We are your servants." And Joshua said to them, "Who are you and where do you come from?" So they said to him, "From a very far country your servants have come, because of the name of the Lord your God, for we have heard of his fame and that he did what he did in Egypt, and all he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, who was at Astaroth. Therefore, our leaders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, saying, 'Take provision with you and journey and go meet them and say to them, we are your servants. Now therefore make a covenant with us.'" "This bread of ours we took hot from our provision, from our houses on the day we departed to come to you. But now look, it is dry and moldy. And these wineskins which we filled were new, and see, they are torn. And these, our garments, our sandals, have come old because of this long journey." Joshua 9, verse 14, "Then the men of Israel took some of the provision, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord." They took a look at it and says, "Seems reasonable. Looks good to me. Yep, dry and moldy. Yep. Those sandals look pretty old. You must have come a long way. So Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live. And the rulers of the congregation swore to them. Oops. They forgot to ask. They forgot to ask. So flush with victories at Jericho and Ai, Joshua got careless. This decision plagued the Israelites for a long time. These inhabitants of Gibeon were Hivites and Amorites, nations that God had said to utterly destroy. Now they lied for sure, but Israel also swore by God that they would not destroy them. And because they swore that oath to God, they could not do it. Proverbs 3, verse 5. You want wisdom, brethren? Study the Proverbs. Study the Proverbs. Trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3, verse 5, with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. It's a pretty shaky stick to lean on. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Like I said, some of us that have lived a few years and have done a few things in our lives sometimes forget this. Oh, yes, I'm an expert in that. Really? God says, oh, well, let him fall once just so he understands about leaning. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. When we put our lives into the hands of the Almighty God, we need to remember to ask him. We need to remember to ask him for clarity and wisdom with all important decisions we make. God says, be strong and courageous. And we can be if we know our decisions are backed by God. So let me conclude with this. This is an interesting thing I noticed the last time we went through Bible reading program that I'd never noticed before. Joshua 24, verse 29. It's appointed to all men to die, and as Moses died, it became Joshua's turn. Joshua 24 and verse 29. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. They buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnah-Serah, which is in the mountains of Ephraim, on the north side of Mount Gaash. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Pretty impressive track record. They served the Lord all the days of Joshua and the next generation. Of course, after that came Judges, and we know what that was about. That was a mess. But the thing that I noticed here was, you remember at the beginning when I read about Moses dying? After the death of Moses, comma, the servant of the Lord. God called Moses the servant of the Lord. It came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. Did you catch what happened here? Now it came to pass, Joshua 24, 29, that after these things, Joshua, son of Nun, servant of the Lord, died. Think Joshua learned a few things during his 110 years to come from Moses' assistant to servant of the Lord, as God always referred to Moses? Look it up. Look up every place in the Bible where Joshua is mentioned. Up until this point, it's always Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. And now it's Joshua, son of Nun, servant of the Lord. So what can we learn from the events that occurred 3,400 years ago as Joshua and the Israelites entered the Promised Land? First point, Joshua had a specific job to do, as do we. He did it, as should we. Point number two, Joshua worked daily to know and understand and keep God's law. We need to also do that. We need to get into our Bibles on a more regular basis. During this time of year, as you look into your and continue your self-examination, ask yourself, am I into God's Word as often as I should be? Am I studying with the intensity I should be? We cannot teach what we do not know, and we cannot lead where we will not go. We need to walk the walk and talk the talk. Point number three, as God was with Joshua, he's also with us. As God was with Joshua, he was also with us. Knowing that, we can move forward with confidence. Point number four, each of us, not just a leadership, has a vital role in the mission. You know, you heard from Mr. Hill, who's a deacon in the San Jose church. You heard from me today, who's an elder in this church. You hear from Mr. Pebworth, who's an elder and a pastor. You hear from Mr. Crow, who's an elder and a pastor. That's wonderful. You are blessed. But you are important. It's not just a leadership. It's not just a leadership. Everyone here has a vital role. Our job is to enhance, not compromise, the mission. And point number five, we must remember to ask. Wisdom dictates that we do not lean on our own understanding. None of us is that good. Only God is good. So the message we have today, brethren, be strong and courageous.